KMOX Radio and Bud Light present The First 11, St. Louis's soccer podcast, featuring Mr. Soccer, Bill McDermott, Bud Light, game day's favorite light lager, and famous among friends. Now, Mr. Soccer, Bill McDermott.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The First 11. It's a brand new soccer podcast show dealing with any and all facets of the sport of soccer. I'm Bill McDermott. I'll be your host. We'll cover things here in the United States, internationally. We'll cover MLS, USL, Champions League, Euro qualifiers, the men's and women's national teams. And by the way, in particular, the women's national team as they prepare for the World Cup in France, which will be held June 7th to July 7th. It's going to be a busy, busy spring and summer. But before we get to that, overall schedule of some things that will be going on, we want to let you know that on today's show, we'll be talking it over with Carolyn Kendall Betts and Jim Cavanaugh, the two most visible people within the ownership group of trying to bring team number 28 in MLS expansion here to the city of St. Louis. Right now it's down to St. Louis and Sacramento. Hopefully an upcoming decision to come very shortly. We'd like to remind you that all of our content here on KMOX.com/soccer is brought to you by Bud Light, game day's favorite light lager and famous among friends. It's going to be a busy, busy spring and summer here for soccer in the United States, around the world, as a matter of fact. The women's national team, we just referenced them. Very difficult friendlies going into the World Cup, as they should be. 4th of April against Australia, the 7th against Belgium. Really, really increasing in popularity pick to perhaps make some noise at the World Cup. The 12th of May against South Africa, a game here in St. Louis on the 16th of May against New Zealand. Last time those two teams played here in St. Louis at Busch Stadium, that was April 4th, 2015. 35,817 people saw that particular matchup. The last game the United States women's national team will play before going to the World Cup on the 11th of June is on the 26th of May against Mexico. I just referenced the 11th of June. That's their first game at the World Cup in France against Thailand, the 16th of June against Chile, and the 20th, yes, that's right, against Sweden. The United States always plays Sweden in a difficult competition, case in point, the World Cup. The men's national team, the CONCACAF Gold Cup, is upcoming. There'll be 16 teams. Groups and game schedule will be announced on April 10th in Los Angeles. Costa Rica, United States, and a Caribbean venue, still to be determined, will be the venues. United States, by the way, is the defending champ. It's the Gold Cup, CONCACAF Gold Cup, the 15th of June till the 7th of July. The final, by the way, will be at Soldier Field. Jason Kreiss, in other news, a former MLS All-Star, Coach of the Year in MLS when he led Real Salt Lake to the MLS Cup. He's been named the new coach of the under-23 men's national team. They're going to attempt to qualify for the Olympics in Tokyo in 2020. By the way, Jason, he was the first player in league history to score 100 goals. He was a magnificent player playing for the Dallas Burn, the then Dallas Burn, now FC Dallas. Josh Sargent, he'll be playing on that team. Tim Weah, likewise. Jack Mayer, the only non-professional defender picked in the overall selection from St. Louis, will also be a part of that particular team. The votes were due April 1st to decide this year's National Soccer Hall of Fame class. Our votes had to be in April 1st. The possibilities this year of great players going into the World Cup, literally endless. Just to name a few. Taylor Twellman, ESPN commentator, played in 4 MLS Cups, 195 games played in his MLS career, 111 goals. Kate Sobrero, Marcraft, played in the 1999 World Cup, 201 caps for Kate. Steve Ralston, St. Louisan, 411 MLS games, 36 caps. The trio of Pat Noonan, Steve Ralston, Taylor Twellman, when they were playing for the New England Revolution, there was seldom a better trio of players. Current coach of the United States national team, Greg Berhalter, played in the 02 World Cup, tremendous performance. Frankie Haydock, who began his career in MLS with the Tampa Bay Mutiny, then went on to Columbus, finished with the Galaxy. He was the captain of the Crew, by the way, Frankie was, when the Crew won in 2008. David Beckham, who literally made MLS front page news. He put the Los Angeles Galaxy on the map, played 6 seasons in Los Angeles, And he was directly responsible for players like Carlos Vela, David Villa, Thierry Henry, Guillermo Barros Schelotto coming to Major League Soccer. So there's a possibility of David Beckham going into the United States Soccer Hall of Fame. Steve Cherundolo played his entire career in Europe, played in Hanover from 99 to 2013. He's the right back on the United States men's all-time best 11. Another player on the United States all-time best 11 for the men's national team with 110 caps. Carlos Bocanegra played 6 years in MLS. Shannon Box, 195 caps for the women's national team, played in 4 World Cups. And St. Louis's own Lori Kolupny, 106 caps. She won a gold medal. She won a World Cup playing at midfield or wide back. And then perhaps the last women to look at for the possibility of going into the United States National Soccer Hall of Fame, Abby Wambach, 255 caps, 184 goals, played in 4 World Cups, 2 Olympics, USSF Women's Athlete of the Year, 6 occasions, FIFA Player of the Year in 2012. So these are just a few. Veterans and builders will also be elected in this year's United States Soccer Hall of Fame class. Elsewhere, this week will feature the First League quarterfinals in the Champions League. There are all kinds of games, as I mentioned when we first began this, all kinds of games this spring and summer, and we're going to highlight all of them for you. Again, I'm Bill McDermott. I'll be your host on the First 11, and MLS is the matter at hand. 24 teams began play in MLS this year, 2019. Teams 25 and 26, respectively, Nashville and Miami, they'll begin play in 2020. Team 27, Austin, they'll start in 2021. And Team 28 is due to kick off in spring of 2022. If indeed that team is here in St. Louis, two people have been the most visible of the prime movers within the ownership group, namely Carolyn Kendall Betts and Jim Cavanaugh. They represent the Taylor and Cavanaugh families, and they join us now. Carolyn, Jim, welcome, and thank you very much for being with us.
Absolutely.
Sure. Jim, Carolyn, first of all, Carolyn, let's start with you. Since the overall initial announcement of your bid for an MLS team on October 9th of last year, this has been nothing short of an absolute whirlwind of activity. Do you have a good feeling about being team number 28?
You know, I think I would have to say I do. We've worked, as you've said, at a crazy speed, just trying to make sure that we check all those boxes on the list. Right now, we've had a lot of good feedback from CEOs and marketing officers that want to help with sponsorships. We are working with the city and the state, of course, to get that land secured, as well as HOK to go ahead and get that stadium design just fine-tuned. And so I believe we have a very good chance of being the 28th team.
That's good news. Jim, at this overall stage, it sure seems that it's between St. Louis and Sacramento for that coveted spot of Team 28. And the league has meetings in April, and as a matter of fact, then in July, in conjunction with the All-Star Game, centering around the All-Star Game. Do you have any kind of a feel for a timetable when this announcement may possibly be made?
There's nothing etched in granite on this, Bill, but I think you laid it out quite well. They have the Board of Governors meeting here in early April, along with the Expansion Committee will be getting together. And then there's the All-Star Game in July. So we believe that MLS, will be looking at this, obviously, very, very closely, and this will be a big piece of any communication that we think will probably happen in that kind of late June, July time frame, and it's going to be really picking the next, the 28th team. So I think that the timeline you kind of identified is the one that they're looking at. And as Carolyn mentioned, we feel, pretty good about, our position and our chances to be that 28th team.
Now, Jim, as a follow-up to that, pertaining to Team 28, we've always talked about Sacramento and St. Louis. Do you ever envision a scenario where St. Louis and Sacramento would be named Teams 28, 29 in the same announcement?
I don't know. It's interesting. I think that's not the way that MLS or Commissioner Garber is kind of laying it out.
Okay.
But I think he is communicating that they believe strongly that there will be teams beyond the 28th team. So, Could they do that? I think anything's possible. That's not what they're communicating.
Okay.
And they do say that they want to try to keep it even. So, you know, to kind of put that 28th team, and then I would assume they'd want a 29th and a 30th. But to your point, Bill, I think anything's possible.
Okay. Carolyn, is the start date still for team number 28? Is it still March of 2022?
That's the time frame that works best for us. So I think that hopefully that would be the date that, you know, we could actually, you know, have the first kick on the stadium. But I'm afraid that anything before that, we would probably have to find another location if we are awarded the team to play at.
Mm-hmm.
Until 2022.
Yeah, Commissioner Garber, Carolyn, back to you. He has always commented that publicly he likes the geographic rivalry of St. Louis, Kansas City. That's to say nothing of the possibility of Chicago, already an existing rivalry because of the sport of baseball, obviously, but Dallas, Houston, Nashville, et cetera, et cetera. It's just easy to get to the central part of the country here in St. Louis. That has to be a strong point in our favor.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, sort of not really officially, but we've talked, you know, with Bill DeWitt about, is there a way to schedule, you know, a game where, to your point, is it Cardinals? Is it Cincinnati? And just try to get people downtown all day if you can't, you know, if you will. So I think what we're hearing is one, it sort of does fill a hole, if you will, the St. Louis market. But you're exactly right. When we were down talking to Clark Hunt in Dallas, you know, he said the same thing. St. Louis is not that far. And so to be able to create sort of that corridor of rivalries, I think would be huge for the sport.
Very much so. And now, Jim, St. Louis, we've talked about this before, is really undergoing a building boom, not just in downtown, but midtown as well. And St. Louis overall, what a crowning fixture to this overall civic renaissance, if you will, an MLS team would be. It'd be a perfect ingredient to top everything off.
Absolutely, Bill. I mean, it's I'm actually out in an event now and talking to some people that live in Austin, and Austin has that kind of renaissance. You look at Nashville, also out here where there's some people from Sacramento, and they're talking about the team. So these are things, to your point, that there is this renaissance and this economic activity and building, you know, whether it's the NGA, it's the Arch to the Park grounds that have been renovated and built out. So many positive things going on downtown and midtown that this just, we believe, is just icing on the cake and very, very complimentary and synergistic to all the good things that are going on in St. Louis. And bottom line, we need to keep it going. Other cities are doing this, and they continue to build, and it's kind of this multiplier effect of positive things going on. So this one, we believe, is very important, not just for the game of soccer, but for the overall economic activity and, you know, long-term viability of St. Louis. We need to do this.
And as a follow-up to that, not only would the new venue accommodate an MLS team, it could host CONCACAF World Cup qualifiers, along with countless other civic events right in the middle of our city.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're looking at, you've got the World Cup, the women's team will be playing here. We have a number of great things going on, just other activities that could be played and used as far as the multi-purpose stadium right next to Union Station. Got Bob O'Loughlin, who's finishing up the building out of the aquarium, which is going to be great, and another attraction. So all those things, I think, are just just complementary things that would happen, you know, with the addition of an MLS team.
Yeah, and speaking of Bob O'Loughlin, he told me just last week, Jim, Carolyn, that the aquarium will be up and running in November. And by the way, the Ferris wheel, which will be immediately evident and obvious from Highway 40, that'll be up in July sometime. So we look forward to this continued building with soccer maybe to be the crowning point. Carolyn, back to you. Do you still have a feel for construction time? I mean, for all intents and purposes, wouldn't it take 18 to 24 months to build a soccer stadium?
I think that's the number that we're working off right now. I think there's the piece to this, too, is that once awarded the team, then we can put in motion of actually transferring the land out of MoDOT into the city's hands. So I think that we can have a relatively aggressive construction schedule, but I think just making sure that we get the parcels correct and the sites ready to be built on is key. I think one thing, you know, we do have to be thoughtful of is all of the construction and all of the building that's going on in the city, which is a great thing. Our project will be one of many. So I think we're trying to keep that 18 to 24 months as a very realistic but also doable time frame.
Carolyn, you touched upon this just briefly a moment ago. Commissioner Garber was obviously pleased by the show of corporate support at a Monday meeting a few weeks ago. Can you comment yet on the conversations you've been having with existing St. Louis companies?
We've, as a team, sort of did a divide-and-conquer mentality where everybody's been setting up meetings sort of as a follow-up, gauging interest, but also it's also us asking, saying, we really need this, and so does the community. So we have had some very real support and some real enthusiasm. I think right now just trying to figure out how to build the right package so that not only does the corporation feel good, but the team feels good and the community feels good as well.
Jim, Carolyn, both, I'd like to get your input on this next question. You've had a chance to look at and tour some of the existing MLS venues. Have you indeed decided on the overall final design of your new stadium? Jim, go ahead and take it first.
As you said, Bill, we spent a lot of time looking at a number of different stadiums, and I think we've got a good feel for what we want to do. We don't have it completely nailed down, all the details, but we're getting much closer. And, you know, across the board, we're trying to take what we would consider as kind of the best practice approach and design from all these different stadiums. So we feel excited and about that, but also the location and the things that we can do around the stadium is just another piece of the overall experience that we think we can create with this stadium downtown.
Carolyn, you at one time had mentioned to me that you really liked Sporting KC's venue.
I did. You know, I think Sporting KC has the feel that I think the ownership group really liked. They call them sort of micro-neighborhoods, so that depending on what you felt that day or who you were with, you could sort of go to these different little pockets around the stadium. So there was a family-friendly section, maybe more of a millennial, young professional-type section. But I think I just enjoyed the overall feel of Sporting KC. But as I've said from the beginning, whatever we build, that stadium has to represent St. Louis and its tradition and its history and its culture. And so I like being able to take some of the highlights of the other stadiums, but I believe that we will have a world-class facility, bar none.
Jim, another factor in St. Louis's favor, I believe, is the fact that the ownership group is indeed a small group. Some of the other newer teams in the league have a wide and varied ownership group, and most in particular, they're all local. That has to be a huge factor.
No, these are things that, you know, we've received incredibly positive feedback from Commissioner Garber and his team just in regards to the size of the investor ownership group, our local ties that go very deep, you know, both on the business, community, philanthropic side, and the soccer side. And so you bring all of those different pieces of the investor ownership group that allows us to be very agile and move very quickly. And then also you add into it that it's women-led with Carolyn is just something that is very unique to have all of that in one ownership team. So we feel very good about it, and I think MLS also does.
Carolyn, throughout this whole structure of you and Jim working together, has he ever told you about his prowess as a player at St. Louis University?
You know, I've actually tried to pin him down on that, and he always seems to dodge the question.
Uh-huh.
I need to have somebody give me the real scoop, I think.
Well, I'll tell you exactly who to get it from. The president of Worldwide Technology, Joe Koenig, or the CFO, Tom Strunk, would be glad to comment on Kavanaugh's abilities.
Just when I thought it was going to be, you know, this was going to be a friendly interview.
Well, we want to thank both of you very much, first of all, for joining us, but most importantly, the combination of the Taylor and the Kavanaugh families are going to cover business, philanthropy, and soccer, and you guys have been uppermost. You've been out in front on this whole endeavor from the very outset. We thank you again for joining us and wish you the absolute best in your pursuit of Team 28 for St. Louis.
Well, thank you, Bill, for all that you're doing for us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, thank you, Jim and Carolyn. Carolyn Kendall-Betts and Jim Cavanaugh joining us. We'd like to remind you that the First 11 is brought to you by Bud Light, game day's favorite light lager and famous among friends. As previously mentioned, Real Madrid will play Atletico Madrid for the first time, for the very first time, outside of Europe on July 26th. That's just one of the great matchups at this year's International Champions Cup. And with us here to discuss the tournament is their Vice President of Commercial Operations for Relevant Sports, Vicky Lynch. And Vicky Lynch, as of March 27th, the announcement date, you are now officially an extremely busy woman.
Yes. Well, thank you, Bill, for having me. And we've actually, as you can appreciate, been busy leading up to that March 27th event. So it is full steam ahead. Absolutely.
And Vicky, now just in its seventh year, seems longer, but it's only 7 years. This tournament has really taken off. It's really blossomed as a fixture on the soccer calendar in the United States throughout the summer months.
Yeah, absolutely. When you think back, we actually laugh sometimes. We look back on 2013, which was the inaugural tournament, and we did six doubleheaders. And now we're in, you know, last year was crazy. I think we were in, I think we did over 20 matches last year in the U.S. and in Europe. And then obviously we also have an Asia tournament too. And this year we're, we've got another close to 20 matches this year. So it's definitely grown. And as you mentioned with the Madrid Derby, I mean, we really start getting some amazing matchups over the years. A few years ago, we had the El Clasico derby with Madrid and Barcelona down in Miami. And that same year, we had the Manchester derby with United and City in Houston. So it's been fun to see these big matchups, too.
Vicky, the tournament runs from July 16th to August 10th. Now, we want our listeners, you can catch all of our content, by the way, on camwex.com/soccer. Listen to these teams. Real Madrid, Manchester United, Tottenham Hotspur, Arsenal, AS Roma, Juventus, AC Milan, Inter Milan, Atletico Madrid, Bayern Munich, Benfica, and Chivas of Guadalajara. The question is, as you just alluded to a moment ago, Vicky, planning-wise, is this a year-long event?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, our crew starts really having, you know, Charlie Stilettano, who's our executive chairman, and who is just, you know, just the godfather of soccer really in the United States and, you know, and his extension into Europe. And as far as his contacts, he starts really talking to the clubs right after our tournaments end to start talking about the following year, because as you can appreciate, a lot of these clubs have very busy calendars. I mean, heck, the international soccer season is, what I think they basically get June and July off. So they have a very busy calendar, and he starts talking to them right away. And then we have a group that starts talking to stadiums, trying to figure out what stadiums are available, because you got to take into account concert tours. I mean, we're always going up against Taylor Swift or somebody to try to get the stadium availability. And then we've got our, you know, we just signed another long-term partnership with ESPN. We have to look at what days it makes sense for them as far as from broadcast windows. It's a full-blown planning and organization that is mind-blowing if people saw behind the scenes. I think it would be mind-blowing, and also I always joke that we could have an amazing reality TV show if we ever tried to put cameras behind the scenes with what goes on.
Oh, I can certainly imagine, especially in prior years when Ronaldinho had been in the United States. But that's for another show at a totally different time. You mentioned Charlie Stilettano, and his name, his legacy in the sport of soccer in our country goes a long way as to why this tournament happens. Charlie was involved with the New York, New Jersey Metro Stars. At the very outset of MLS, he was the venue director for the World Cup at Giant Stadium in 1994. So his relationships, Vicky, go a long way into making this tournament successful.
Yeah, and really that is what Charlie is relationships. I always chuckle if I'm watching, at home on a Saturday morning. I'm never surprised if I'm watching a Manchester United match or some other match, and, you know, inevitably the TV cameras, if Sir Alex Ferguson's in the stands, they'll show him in the stands. And I can't tell you how many times I see Charlie sitting right next to him.
Yeah, of course.
So he is legendary as far as his contacts, but he's just also just a really good person, and that's why they like working with him. So it's all in all, he is definitely the heart and soul of the International Champions Cup.
Vicky, you mentioned the Madrid Derby uppermost in the overall slate of competition. What are some of the other more intriguing matchups that people can see here in the United States this summer?
Well, I think, obviously, Bill, you're based in St. Louis, just across the state at Arrowhead Stadium, mm-hmm. Bayern Munich and AC Milan. And Bayern Munich, I think, is always an entertaining club to watch. They tend to play really attractive soccer. So I think that's going to be one. And I think also just, the fact that Arrowhead Stadium is kind of getting a little facelift here. Mm-hmm. I think it'll make for a nice event. But also you look at, down in Houston at NRG Stadium, I think this is going to be an amazing matchup. Again, it's Bayern, but this time they're going up against Real Madrid. So I think that could be a lot of fun to watch too. And for people who love the EPL, Arsenal has some really interesting matchups. They're at FedEx Field outside of D.C., taking on Real Madrid. I think there's really something for everybody. If you like European football, this is the tournament to go to.
This is the tournament to go to. And, of course, when Bayern Munich shows up, the entire entourage comes along, Karl-Heinz Rummenigge, Uli Hoeneß. Does Beckenbauer make the trips occasionally, Vicky?
He tends not to, but just in the launch event we had in New York, Lothar Matthäus was their legend that was there, and he tends to travel with them. Mm-hmm. So there's never a shortage of big names when it comes to Bayern.
By the way, aptly named the International Champions Cup, the games of this year are not just in the United States.
That's correct. We definitely we're focused a lot on Asia because the clubs are also interested in Asia. I don't think I'm telling anything that's out of school as far as the fact that, yes, this is their training, their preseason training to get the players in the club ready for their upcoming seasons. But at the same time, there is a commercial aspect to it that they want to each club wants to grow their individual brands, and obviously Asia is a huge marketplace for that. But also, Relevant Sports Group is also interested in developing its brand in Asia. So we've got some really big matchups over there. And then in Europe, you would think that people get enough good football in Europe, but we still get really good crowds when we have matches at Wembley or places like that. But what's really exciting is one of our matches is going to be at the new Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. So I'm trying to finagle myself a trip over there for that one.
I was just going to ask you, with reference to your travel plans, how are you going to go from Chicago to Singapore to Kansas City? Or are you going to even attempt that?
I do not. We have a great team in Asia, so I don't get too involved with them other than just helping them understand how we're doing things over here and have some continuity. But I definitely will try to hit as many as the matches I can. Thankfully, my situation is that I tend to have to go to the matches that are kind of more of the high profile. Because my responsibilities involve not only our corporate partners at the stadiums, but also our game presentation and the fan experience. And so, obviously, you can imagine that all of that gets elevated at the bigger matches.
In overall conjunction with the games, the ICC Legacy Project will identify some charitable organization in each game city. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, coincidentally, that's actually the project that I head up. So I'm kind of the one on the front line talking to all these different programs and entities that are in our markets. And I joked with one of my colleagues the other day. I said, you know what? I don't know if I can do this anymore, because I talked to 3-4 different organizations in the market, and they all have such amazing stories. Mm-hmm. But I can, you know, we're only selecting one per market, and it's just, it's heartbreaking. I want to help everyone. But we've already partnered with some amazing organizations in Charlotte, the Creative Player Sports Foundation. You know, they're on the west side of Charlotte, which is the poorest part of town. And they do after school programs with a lot of kids that are, you know, they just told me a story about a young boy was sent by his family to live with an uncle in Charlotte from Honduras, and he doesn't know a soul, and he is so sad to be kind of uprooted out of his life, but he's using their soccer program after school to kind of really integrate. And they also have stories about, you know, a couple of their kids were below reading levels for their grades, and going to this after school program, which also they help the kids with their homework in addition to playing soccer. Those two kids now, one, they had a spelling bee at their school, and one finished fourth and one finished second.
Yeah, congratulations.
So, yeah, it's just amazing. And then in Kansas City, we've got Youth Rise, which was started by a female police officer in Kansas City to use soccer to help a lot of the refugees that have come into the Kansas City area and help them acclimate. And what she's trying to do is help them develop their soccer skills to the point where they might get recruited by colleges and get some scholarships. So, yeah, it's really exciting to be a part of the Legacy Project, and it's just something that you know, I feel fortunate to be a part of.
That's a big part of the tournament. Vicki, you commented earlier about the launch of the announcement last week in New York. World Soccer Royalty literally was present. You mentioned Lothar Matthäus representing Bayern Munich, but Diego Forlán, Robert Pires, and Javier, my all-time favorite Argentinian, Javier Zanetti, who was a legend of Milan. Does he still look like he's directly out of Central Casting?
Yes, as does a few other of those gentlemen. They're certainly aging well.
Vicki, you've been around the sport long enough that you could certainly give us a comment on this and make a comment about it, because we had Carolyn Kendall Betts and Jim Cavanaugh earlier on the show talking about the possibility of being Team 28 in MLS. What would that do? What would bringing an MLS team here to St. Louis do for the overall community?
I think it would be tremendous. You know, obviously I was born and raised in St. Louis, love the city, and think it's amazing. And the one thing that I've always said about St. Louis is that I wish that we just had more civic pride. I always feel like when people say, oh, I'm from St. Louis, there's always a disclaimer. Oh, it's a great place to raise a family. You know, cost of living is so reasonable. There's always kind of that disclaimer. And I think, you know, if you come across anybody who says, oh, I'm from New York, I'm from Chicago, they just leave that statement. Mm-hmm. They don't feel they need to say anything more. And I think that I think there's some great things happening in St. Louis, whether it be with the, you know, Ballpark Village being developed so much. I'm not sure what it is, the space or the security facility that's going to be built on the north side. I think there's some great things, and I think this is just, if there was an MLS franchise that came to St. Louis, I think it would just be one more reason for St. Louis to puff out its chest and be proud of itself and really, you know, put itself forward into the world and, you know that you can hang with the big boys.
Yeah. Vicki, one last soccer question before we let you get out of here. You've been involved with the sport long enough, and we're very close to some of the women and watch their development as players on the 1999 soccer team, a tremendous success in the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. How does the United States women's national team look headed into this year's World Cup in France?
I think they look tremendously strong. I mean, I think they've got to be one of the favorites. Matter of fact, I mean, we just actually, at the New York launch for the ICC, we brought some of the 99 women's World Cup winners back together to celebrate the 20-year anniversary. So it was amazing to see those women and just to see how much the sport has progressed since that watershed moment. And I think this current team of national team players is you know, doing the country proud, and I think they're going to do well. And you know, and I think they're doing us proud not only on the field but off the field, as far as just trying to bring attention to equality and making sure that the next generation of female soccer players is treated with the respect and the equality that everybody deserves.
Great. Well, their slogan is Champions Meet Here. The website, internationalchampionscup.com. Vicki Lynch, thank you very much. Safe travels. All the best with this year's tournament, Vicki. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
We'd like to remind you that the First 11 is brought to you by Bud Light, Game Day's favorite light lager and famous among friends. In upcoming podcast here on KMOX.com/soccer, we'll attempt to cover any and all aspects of the sport. We'll talk with former players, announcers, administrators, Julie Foudy, Taylor Twellman, Don Garber, Commissioner of MLS, Jake Edwards, Commissioner of USL, just to get an overall feel of where the sport is in the United States right now. It'll all be here on KMOX.com/soccer. So, for the First 11, I'm Bill McDermott. Talk with you next week on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.